Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug. I love movies probably more than ever. And this is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from just a few more weeks and we can go back to normal with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, March 7th, 2021. And while some people were beware of Ides, I booked three terrific guests, Jen Kirkman, Weird Al Yankovic, and returning champ, Frank Conniff. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Doug.
Hi.
Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Let's say hello to everybody individually, starting with Jen Kirkman is here.
Hey, hey.
And I still haven't watched that movie you recommended on this very show.
Oh, 12th Man. Again, if you're not a war movie guy, it's not for you, but it's more of a solo survival in the woods movie. I kind of, you know, anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing about it is that, like, you know, you're kind of touching on simultaneously two genres that I'm not necessarily that into, war and one guy trying to do, you know, trying to get out of a situation. You know, once I saw Robert Redford trying to fix a, you know, the boat he was in for 2 hours, I was like, I'm out on these.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, I feel like because of your resistance to it, the way I am with certain genres as well, that you may end up loving it, but I have no stake in it. I don't care either way.
No, I know. I just like, I think it's fun. It's fun that you recommended like what, you know, arguably like a guy movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to watch it. but I, you know, I still probably will someday because it is supposed to be very good. I just wish, does he have like a Wilson? Because like that saved Castaway.
Oh, yeah, he's not alone.
He had a volleyball to talk to.
Yeah, no, he's not alone like that. He has people that are hiding him. So he's never alone on screen more than 3 to 5 minutes, but it's he's the only one running. Everyone else is innocent or, you know what I mean? He's being hunted by Hitler, but no one else is.
Well, here's another one that's pure torture. There's a movie called I think it's called The Hunted with Willem Dafoe. And he plays a hunter who sets extremely intricate little traps for different kinds of animals. And God bless him for learning how to make these traps, but you watch Willem Dafoe make these traps in real time. It is one of the most boring things ever.
Oh, I could just watch a YouTube video if I want that kind of boredom.
I could just watch some ASMR stuff if I want to even mess with a, you know, movie that kind of has a story.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming back, Jen. Sure. It's always great to have you. And whatever you recommend today, I promise I might watch it.
Well, this is more.
You don't have to do it right now. I'm just saying.
Oh, later. Okay. Yeah.
Later,
yeah.
In the show. Very soon in the show. We're just going to meet everybody first.
Meet and greet.
Yeah. Because we got to say hello to Weird Al Yankovic, everybody.
Doug, how are you, man?
Dude, have you kept track? I was talking to you before the show, and you said that you heard us playing the Oh Yeah Sunshine game.
Right.
And I have a question that's similar for you about how your music has been used in films. Do you know how many movies and TV shows you have songs in, according to IMDb?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm hoping that you'll tell me right now.
No, I was hoping you knew.
Oh,
it's 85.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem possible.
That's pretty good.
85 movies or TV shows? What? I don't.
And TV. So I don't know, you know, like.
Wow. Well, I'm impressed.
What's your favorite use of one of your songs in, you know, in a movie that you had nothing to do with creatively?
Oh, off the top. You know, it's not a movie, but they used Another One Rides the Bus in the season opener of one of the seasons of The Walking Dead. Which, and it made absolutely no sense. And I loved it because it was just so random and completely stupid.
Were they in a bus?
No, I can't tell you really what the context was, but one of the protagonists in the show was in bed, and he hears Another One Rides the Bus from another room. I don't really understand why.
I get it. I remember now.
Do you?
It was a fantasy sequence where he was imagining life with this woman if the zombie thing was over.
So like in a perfect world, all you really hear is Weird Al music. Is that the basic gist of it?
That's basically it. Is that if, you know, once everything's perfect, that's how you're going to start your day.
That's the only option. Weird Al 24/7.
I mean, no offense, but I hope it's at least the whole catalog. I don't want to hear that one alone. I don't want that to be the only one.
We'll have to wait and see what Utopia is really like.
Because that's what I like about a lot of your parodies, is you have fun with songs that I, you know, did not like to begin with. And then somehow, you know, it turns you around on both your version and theirs. So suddenly you like it all.
I've heard that a lot about like the Blurred Lines parody that I did. People kind of like hearing a version that's not quite so rapey.
97% less. Also joining us today, the winner from last week's intense competition, because it's one of his own cohorts was on the program as well. It's TV's Frank Conniff.
Hey, Doug.
Hey,
thanks,
man,
for having me back. I'm honored that you asked me to come back.
Well, what has this week been like for you? Like, I knew what it used to be like when I'd win on that midnight and I'd be like champion of the internet for like 24 hours. It was just incredible. Like, how much did you ever walk anywhere on your own, or were you lifted and carried everywhere you needed to go?
No, any exhilaration I felt from winning on your show was overcome by the resentment I still have that I was never on at midnight. So,
yeah, I can hear that. I have there's so many. I have a list of shows I've never been on, but a list of resentment shows. But here you are.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Two-time guest, possibly a winner today. And here's a weird question. This is kind of like from my other show, Wide World at Doug's, where we discuss people's names, and would love to have, you know, all of you over on that show. But has anyone ever slipped and called you Frank Conniff Jr.?
No one has, even though I am a junior. My dad, I am a namesake of my dad.
So then it wouldn't be a slip. It would be accurate.
It would be accurate. It would be absolutely accurate to call me that. But I didn't. I don't use it. in my name, so it doesn't come up often. But
I'd try it if I were you, for like, you know, if you ever make a reservation ever again.
Well, as I've said before on social media, my dad is the cool Frank Conniff. My dad, it was a journalist. My dad is a Pulitzer Prize winner, and he was pretty awesome. So if you want to get a cool Frank Conniff, I'm not the one. He's the one.
He would get booked on At Midnight.
Oh, totally. And he was actually on a lot of shows. He was on Meet the Press a lot in the 50s and on quiz shows, too. So, yeah, he would crush that shit if he were around right now.
Well, that's probably why, you know, is that explain, you know, because you're very, you know, adept at a political satire, and you've been pretty clear about your political positions, but it's usually in a very, very humorous way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I try to be. I mean, I don't consider myself any kind of expert on anything, but when I do have opinions and when I express them, I think the only way for me to do it is to express it humorously. That's the way that justifies it. Because like I said, I'm not a policy expert or anything. I just have opinions on things.
Yeah. I mean, some things seem pretty, you know, pretty simple. And then when people don't understand, mm-hmm. and when you have people that disagree with you, you know, a joke is a good way to, you know.
Yeah. So that's how I try to express it.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you try to write a joke, just comes out, you know, F you, everybody. But,
well, yeah. Those are actually some of my biggest successes on Twitter, like the Senator Sinema, who voted against the relief package. And,
yeah.
and she just did a tweet about, let's support our frontline COVID workers. And I just wrote, fuck you. And that got a gigantic, whenever I do those kind of, I can write the best joke ever and they don't get as many likes and retweets as when I just write that.
No, it's cathartic. Like people like see it, you know, politicians that are, you know, ruining everybody's lives, like to sit around and talk about decorum and, you know,
yes.
And swear. And it's just like, come on. It's more serious than that. Mm-hmm. It's not about Dr. Seuss right now.
No.
Jen, now is the time for you to recommend a motion picture.
All right.
That I might watch.
Well, the irony is last time, as you say, I kind of recommended a guy movie. With this movie, I'm recommending, now again, I don't think it's the world's best movie, but I'll tell you, I'll explain why I got a kick out of it, called I Am Woman. Have you heard of it?
Heard of it. I watched it like, you know, opening day practically.
Oh, really? Did you like it?
No.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's so for the listener. Now, this is what's interesting is I've always known of the song I Am Woman by Helen Reddy. Uh-huh. And I had a preconceived notion about it, that it was not authentic or organic, that some music industry executive said, hey, that women's crap is real popular here, honey, and wrote a song and she sang it. I had no idea how authentic it was that she wrote it. It really did sort of go hand in hand with the beginning of the women's movement, blah, blah. So that was interesting. But what was funny is it's on Netflix and it doesn't say the Helen Reddy story. It just says a single mom gets a record contract. And I was like, you know, I need something mindless to watch. I'll throw this on. And so I just thought it was weird. It wasn't billed that way. But what I liked about the movie is I really like, of course, I don't know anyone's name, but the guy in it who played her husband, he's also on that show Pose. And he plays like a straight business guy who has sex with the trans prostitutes secretly at night. And he's just a good actor. Anyway, so he's in the movie and he plays her husband, who's a record executive, and he's got a drug problem. So it's just like fun. And I love 70s period pieces. But what was interesting about it, what I wish they would make a movie about is this woman, Helen Reddy, in real life, her best friend was a woman named Lillian Roxon, who was the first, not female rock critic, the first rock critic. And she is like the reason that bands like the New York Dolls and to some extent Bowie were taken seriously, because she would go hang out at Max's Kansas City in New York and write about bands. And she just kind of made up that job. And she wrote the first rock encyclopedia. No one had ever done that. but she died really young of asthma in 1973. So that industry became really male dominated. I think had she lived longer and younger women could have mentored under her, it would have been a totally different world, you know? But as it stood, she was the first and only. She was forgotten, then men took it over, and then it was hard for women to break in. So I was really intrigued by her character, and I'd love to see maybe a documentary on her. But it was a fun watch because, you know, I'll watch anything with that has a lot of 70s furniture.
Well, now I'm confused because when you first brought it up, I thought you were talking about that recent movie called I'm Your Woman.
Oh, that one. That one I did see.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I was saying I didn't like, and I didn't.
Oh, well, I'll let me speak up for that because I like that one. I like that one.
I didn't hate it, Frank. I just thought that the trailer made it look like it was going to be like stylish and exciting. And instead it was just sort of,
it's a slow burn, but I thought it was very good.
It's a very slow burn. And I'm on record as saying I'm not really a slow burn guy, but in some cases,
I didn't see that.
It's so good. Like, have you ever seen Blue Ruin?
No, I haven't. No.
It's very slow burn, but the payoff is so good that you're like, oh, I'm glad I hung out through the burn. But so Jen, the movie, yeah. The Helen Reddy movie.
Yes.
You were talking about is called I Am Woman.
I Am Woman. It's on Netflix. And honestly, if you like a biopic, I think you'll love it. And,
I'll absolutely check it out.
The woman who plays her is real, real cute and sings really well. You know, when you have these biopics and the actor ends up singing people's songs, I'm always like, it's not as good. I thought she was just as good. Maybe because I'm not a huge Helen Reddy fan. It didn't bother me, you know? but I just thought, you know, any kind of biopic where I learn something, it can't be that bad, you know? It's like a fun little made-for-TV movie. I probably wouldn't go see it in the theater, but watched it at home.
I'm just a little worried that I've already learned everything that I would learn if I watched it just from what you just told us.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I'll put this right after that war movie on my list. all right, Frank, do you have something hot and fresh to recommend?
I do have something fresh because it's a very current movie, and it I just happened to see it like two nights ago, and it's a film some people might know about because it won a Golden Globe Award. Which is a meaningless award, but still it won. but I thought it was great. It was a Nomadland with Frances McDormand, but in a way, it's kind of passive aggressive for me to recommend it on this show, having just talking about you not liking slow burns.
Yeah,
because it doesn't even describe it to call it a slow burn because it's almost a plotless movie, sort of. I mean, there's a plot, but it's really very character driven and very much about the atmosphere of it, of about a woman whose entire town, and it's a true story, her entire town is closed down because the factory was closed down. And she just lives out of her van traveling around the country. And there's a lot of non-actors in it who are all really good. And, I was just very taken with it, and I thought it was really, really good.
I do want to watch it, but that it's one that's like when there's a fun movie or that movie that I choose.
Well, I think if there'd been a fun movie, I would have picked that, but it was I had to wait. Like WandaVision wasn't on for another night, so I had to watch it. But it's something I would recommend. Very poetic, lyrical movie, which that might not be a big recommendation to some people, but it's just visually and emotionally very powerful. And I'm giving it my despite the fact that it won a Golden Globe Award, see it anyway.
Yeah.
Have we even call this show Doug Loves Movies when he's just in the first 10 minutes named three entire genres?
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't like. I don't like slow burn. I don't like war. I don't like one man by himself.
I'm scared that you're saying that slow burn and a guy alone are genres, but.
I know. I heard myself say it and I said, Jen, you will not get away with that.
But the war movie one, the war movie one is a genre, and I do have to say that it's lower on my list. But you know, the great war movie, you know, a great movie is a great movie. You know, I just right. have to be coerced into seeing it. I've seen lots of great war movies. It's not a genre I seek out, especially in my current emotional state, which is, you know, shared by all of us. You know, I want to see things that are fun, you know, but I do get in the dirt sometimes with some dramas and really cry it out. And I feel like that's another thing about Nomadland is I do think it'll be an emotional experience.
But in a way there's, cause I totally get what you're saying about wanting to see fun movies. And I've been so, grateful, especially during the pandemic, I've been so grateful to escapist entertainment. I've been so grateful to movies that just take me out of myself and where I can just have fun and just enjoy myself. But I think there's, for me at least, there's also a case of where you're going through something that's emotional, and then you see a movie that's emotional, and it kind of reflects where you are, and that can be a catharsis as well. It's not an escape. It's kind of, you're kind of, a filmmaker is using her artistry to have you look at kind of a somber situation and a very melancholy situation, and dealing with issues of aging and isolation and stuff like that. And if it reflects on you, that can also be something that's very valuable, I think, at least for me.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a thing I love about movies is the,
yeah,
it's so personal to everybody. And but yet, you know, some movies strike a chord with all of us, but all of us have, you know, we all have our movies that I love to get into that on this show a little bit. It's like, you know, what's the movie that you love that the world doesn't, you know, cause everybody's got examples of that. Most of them are cause they were, you know, 9 the first time they saw it.
Right. Right.
You know, the impressionable youth seems to be a big factor. I want to recommend, just because he's sitting right here, because I knew you were going to be on, Al, I decided to watch UHF.
Oh, no.
It really made me happy. I really enjoyed it. And the thing I wanted to ask you about it specifically is, especially at the end of the movie, was Kevin McCarthy, is that his name?
That's one of the actors of the movie, yes.
Yes. I just want, you know, there's so many McCarthys and they're all terrible. I don't want to make a mistake. But this particular McCarthy is a great actor and, you know, like original Body Snatchers, I think.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah. And, you get him to give such an over the top, you know, villain, silly performance and he falls apart at the end as they often do. Was he having fun?
He was having the best time. I wish we could have had some of these takes in the deleted scenes, but every time he'd do like some really angry, over-the-top, blustery line reading, and the director would say, cut, and he would just start laughing. He was having the best time. He enjoyed just playing it like so much larger than life.
Yeah, he really throws himself into it. And also in his defeat, like the sobbing at the end is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's not a subtle movie. So he was fine playing extremely broad.
Yeah, but he's like sobbing and you get to like casually walk by like, what's his problem? So do you have something to recommend for us?
Oh, you know, ironically, even though I haven't left the house in a year, I haven't watched a whole lot of movies. But one recently, you must have seen this because literally every single person on my Twitter feed was raving about this, which meant I had to watch it in and of itself. Have you seen that? Yeah. So
I'm sad to say that I have not seen the movie version of it yet.
Oh, you saw the original production.
I saw the show, I like to say, 3.5 times.
Wow.
Because in the show, that at one point he asks for an audience volunteer, and that person gets kicked out, and they have to come back the next night. And so the first time I saw it, I only saw the first half and then left to be the, because I was the volunteer, and then I came back, saw the whole thing the next night. And then I saw it 2 more times after that. And I still don't know how he does any of the tricks. I still find the monologue itself to be mesmerizing. And, it's poetry and magic, and it really stays with you.
I'm so jealous. So you got to be Mr. Tomorrow for one performance.
Yes, and this is scary. He filmed that particular show. I guess he probably filmed all of his shows, but he told me that I could watch. You know, that he would show me the footage of me on stage with him, and I haven't taken him up on it because I have such great memories of it. I think if I watched it, I would judge. You know, I'd just rather remember it the way I remember it.
Right, right.
Adlon and Jason Alexander both happened to be in the audience that night. And they both were, especially Pamela was so nice to me afterwards. Like it's strange how the laughs I got during my segment with him, because it's not a funny show really.
Right.
But the audience they enjoyed my time on stage, and so did I. So I don't want to see it, I don't think.
Really? Okay. I mean, it's really Frank Oz directed the film version, and I thought I didn't see the original production in New York, but I have to assume that he really captured as well as he could the experience. I mean, you know, for doing a film version of a one person, you know, play, you wouldn't think it would be that compelling, but it definitely was, and I can't even imagine what it must have been like to actually be in the audience.
It's incredible. And like I said, you could see it multiple times. There's a thing that happens at the end that you can stare at that thing, you know, waiting for it to happen, and still can't figure out how it's happening.
Were you like a different person or each time? Like I am.
Yeah. I pick a different thing off the wall, just depending on my mood.
Do you remember what you were?
Comedian once, and then I got into some weirder. I think I picked host one time. There's so many to choose from, and you feel really weird like trying to stand there and read every single one of them.
Was that like a parasite host kind of thing, or how
host of a podcast?
Oh, I get it. Okay, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I picked one that said I'm a specimen. Yeah. But so to be clear for anybody who hasn't seen it, everybody in the audience picks a thing off the wall. It says I'm a something or other. Right. And then they hand it in, and somehow because it's a magic trick. Cause I don't think it's a memorization trick personally, but however they do it.
Yeah. I kind of don't want to know, but it's pretty mind blowing.
Yeah, he tells everybody in the audience which one they picked, and when you see it, I don't know what happens in the movie version, but when you're there in person, he says, if you don't feel like participating, just stay seated. And so he doesn't call out the people that stay seated, because some people, I guess, get cold feet, like they pick something that's kind of,
right.
They want the whole room to think they picked, I'm a stripper or whatever.
In the movie version, he tells the people that picked like some kind of joke thing, like I'm a ninja or whatever. Like if you don't really believe in, what you picked, don't stand up. So that's what we did it for the
so that's what happens, is a lot of people stay seated. But I think I stood up every time, just because it's just fun to, because he's going around the room when he gets to you, like what's, and in my case, he made a little joke each time, because he knew me. Like that was the other thing, is when I got to be Mr. Tomorrow, I was really surprised because, he and I had already like corresponded and stuff. And I felt like it was going to be something where he just wanted somebody that he didn't, that was a stranger. But then, if you've seen the show, you get that, well, sure, I could be Mr. Tomorrow. It doesn't really matter.
So you had to like write a couple pages in that book. Was that part of the homework assignment?
Oh yeah. No, I like took the book home, and it's thick and full of all sorts of.
Did you read the whole thing?
Yeah. I read as much of it as I could in 24 hours. And, you know, cause then you have to go back the next night. This all sounds so crazy if you haven't seen this thing, but you have to go back the next night with the book after writing your stuff in it. And then the two of you, you know, Derek and the subject, Mr. Tomorrow or Mrs. Tomorrow or Ms. Tomorrow, they sit there and kind of go through the highlights of it. Cause I wrote way more than he like went through and told me, now read us this part. And he told me which parts to read. I mean, it was a crazy experience. And, you know, and he doesn't even do a trick on that person really. Like there was nothing for me to get blown away by, cause somebody else in the audience just gets this heart. I mean, it's just, I cry every single time that he gives somebody in the audience, like a letter from somebody.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. How does he do that?
I have no idea. It's so crazy. It's like such an amazing, he's got such great tricks, but then it's also a really good play. All right. We've spent way too much time on this, but I should even get him to be a guest on the show. Cause he's great. And In and Of Itself is available to stream in a place that everybody's saying we should be boycotting right now. So work that out. Thanks for your recommendations. I'm definitely going to maybe check them out. And we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. No flipping.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. It's time to play some games. Are you up for playing some games?
Whee!
Yeah.
All right. This first game we're going to play today is a game we play on the show a lot. Jen might have played it before. It's called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? Taglines for movies. Do you know what the tagline was for UHF by any chance?
I think on the poster, like the one sheet.
Yeah.
I think it was television the way it was meant to be seen in a movie theater.
That's great.
I like that. You know, a lot of times they're not that good, and you know, sometimes they have multiple ones because there'll be multiple posters, or they'll use them at the ends of advertisements. And so these are ones that I pulled from IMDb. I'll go to the three of you one at a time. We'll start with Frank. I'll say the first letter of the movie that's the answer, just as a little extra clue, because these can be pretty difficult. And then I'll tell Frank the tagline. And then if Frank misses it, it goes to Jen. If Jen misses it, it goes to Al. And if you all miss it, we just move on to the next one.
Great.
Okay.
This one begins with the letter T, Frank. What movie had the tagline, "We all know one"?
We all know one.
K-N-O-W. We all know one. And keep in mind, they haven't made Karen the movie yet.
And when you say T, is that possibly the, or if there's a the, it's not
I would be more upfront about a "the" because that's a lot of titles.
Yeah. We all know one. Terms of endearment. That's my bad guess.
Yes, it's true, but not the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on. I, when I started doing this first letter thing, it does prompt people to just go ahead and take a stab of a movie that begins with that letter. Jen, do you have a guess?
So that begins with the letter T. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I have a guess, but it doesn't begin with T, and it's like so strong in my head that like I can't get it on my head.
You can tell us what the guess is.
Well, no, because then it will count as my guess, won't it?
No, this is like pre-guess.
It was like Step Brothers jumped into my head because I'm picturing a poster. I'm picturing like an asshole. Like everyone knows an asshole, you know?
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Dumber and Dumber, something like that. But okay, let me just think. I think it's going to be, I'm going to take a crazy guess and say Ted, that movie with the teddy bear and Mark Wahlberg.
We all know a talking teddy bear.
We all know a talking bear.
No, that's not it. Do you think you know what it is, Al?
I wanted to say Terminator because we all know a Terminator. Trainwreck?
That is correct.
Wow.
Great answer. Great. Yeah. Wow.
That is correct. Trainwreck. We all know one.
Maybe I didn't get that right because I am the train wreck in my life. That's why I don't know one. Hashtag LOL comedy.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that's an all right tagline and a terrific movie. I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
It's weird they didn't say like you can't look away or something because that's usually what we say about.
Oh right, yeah.
But I'm sure they knew what they were doing. It seemed to have done quite well.
I don't know, Jen. They could have made a lot more with your idea. They got to get you involved in these things. We're back to Frank with a new catchphrase tagline, and it begins with the letter S, and. The tagline is, watch what you eat.
Watch what you eat. Sausage party?
That is correct.
Wow. What?
Wow.
It's just a wild
Very good.
Guess. Thank
Very
you.
Good.
That was,
I've never heard of that movie.
It's the animated movie made by Seth Rogen and the gang that...
based on a true story.
Based on true foods. It's a, you know, talking food movie. But it's, you know, it's dirty and, you know, there's sex stuff in there. And
ooh.
It's a fun... I think it's a fun movie. I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Well, you should... You probably are watching what you eat then.
since my heart surgery, yes.
No sausages for you.
That's right.
Or parties probably either, right?
No. Well, I didn't go to any parties beforehand anyway, so.
Well, you can celebrate right now because you're on the board. You've got 1 point. Let's get Jen in the game. This one begins with B, Jen.
Okay.
All you need is one killer track.
Okay, so it's about a hit song. Is the word killer a clue that it's like a horror movie? B, 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 B. Oh, shit. I don't have a clue, but let me just be.
Just pick anything that begins with a B.
Beyonce. That's not a movie. Oh, I don't know. I'm stumped. That's it.
That's all right. You don't have to guess.
No, Beyonce is my guess.
Oh, okay.
Write it down.
That's incorrect.
Okay.
What do you think it is, Al?
Well, this is almost not fair because I'm a huge Edgar Wright fan. It's Baby Driver.
It is Baby Driver.
Ah!
Oh, wow.
Baby Driver.
And I love that movie.
I were with Jen.
Yeah, that one I did see.
That's so funny. But they're, you know, they're tricky, you know, like you.
Oh, that's right. We were both at that thing.
Yeah, we went to the screening of it in New York. I got to see that one in a couple different settings before it opened. It was so much fun. It's such a great movie.
Yeah, it is really great.
It's just amazing the way that he basically cuts the movie to the soundtrack, you know, like a music video.
Yeah, it's not, he's not showing up on the set in the morning going, which way are we going to shoot? What are we going to do? Already planned out because he's already got the rights to the songs.
Right, right.
Like it's already all timed out to the music. It's so good. I wish he'd just make a straight up musical, but his next movie is a horror movie and I will take it.
Yeah. He just did that Sparks documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Sparks,
that's true. So that's how he's getting into musicals, is with a documentary about a great band. And
I didn't know he was doing that.
You've seen that already, haven't you, Al?
I have. And I'm in it.
What's it called?
The Sparks Brothers.
Oh, it's just named after them. Okay.
Yeah.
No extra words, no colon, the brother that had...
The Sparks Brothers, colon, the movie about Sparks, who happen to be brothers.
I've known about Sparks for forever because I was obsessed with the movie Roller Coaster, and they are they're the band that performs a big opening of the roller coaster at the end of the movie.
I know who they are because I'm a
band you would hire to play in a Magic Mountain or whatever.
Morrissey loves, always championed them and talked about them. And so I was a big Morrissey fan. And so then I knew of them. So I always think it's cool when you find out about kind of obscure things from a big icon that talks them up.
Sparks is murder.
That's a deep cut joke.
I don't think it has a release date yet, though.
No, I think they just sold it to a Focus. So they're saying it comes out later this year, but it premiered at Sundance last month. And I guess South by Southwest pretty soon. And then the wide release, hopefully later this year.
Oh, I'll watch it at South by Southwest. That's awesome.
Yes, it's a featured, I forget what they call it. It's like one of their featured releases at South by Southwest.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome. There's so many great movies have premiered there. Okay, so let's go to... So Al just picked up another point. So Frank, you get this one first. This begins with F, and I'm going to give you two of this movie's several taglines.
Okay.
Vengeance hits home. And one last ride.
Wow.
Begins with an F.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Frankenhooker. I don't know. That was a bad guess.
Good guess.
Terrific F, Frank. We were just sitting there thinking, what begins with F, Frank?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's in a weird way, and I know this is irrational, the initial makes it harder in a way.
Yes,
you know,
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, because if you hear vengeance, like then you think of a bunch of revenge movies, but then if it's narrowed down to just an F, you know, it makes it hard in some ways.
What if, that's a good point. It's just that, such a tough game. You guys are doing great today, but it's, you know, it has been such a tough game sometimes that I just feel like that little extra nudge might've helped, but you're right that it does. It plays a little bit of a mind game. What do you think this one is, Jen?
Well, is it a Fast and the Furious movie? Do I need to know the number if indeed it is?
Well, yeah, that is an interesting point because I think a lot of them begin with F. And okay. So I think that is what's going to hurt you here is not, I mean, if this is a Fast and Furious movie, then you'll have to know like the number.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say the last one, which I know doesn't mean anything. So I will say five. Fast and Furious 5 is my guess.
That one was just called Fast 5. And that's not the correct answer.
Okay, okay.
Let's see what Al thinks of it.
I disagree, but all right.
Okay.
I'm going to sign on to Fast and Furious. I as well have no idea what number. I have no idea how many they made. I'm going to say Fast and Furious 14, FFF.
I love that you have no idea how many they've made. That is a special kind of, you know, like a bubble that you're in. Because they're up to 8. 9 is the one that's been kind of kicked down the road, and nobody knows when it's going to come out. But this particular one is everybody guessed, right? This particular one is Furious 7.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Furious 7, yeah.
Hey, I'm just proud that it was like technically the right movie franchise.
That was really impressive. And I have one last one where I think knowing the first initial is that will actually be helpful, but maybe I'm wrong. And it starts with Frank. Are you ready, Frank?
Yep.
The tagline was for this movie that begins with the letter I, a new film by Wes Anderson.
Oh, well, so wait, what is...
yeah, exactly.
Fuck. Now I'm like, I'm blanking on all of his film titles now. The Istanbul Express to the Narragine.
I wish I could say yes to that.
I guess it doesn't help when you make up your own titles, but
yeah, but it's it is a fun way to play. I wish there was more of that on Jeopardy. Okay, so what do you think it is, Jen? You know the Wes Anderson catalog well enough to...
I do. I mean, I've seen a lot of them.
I'm trying to think if there's more than one that begins with I, and I don't think there is.
I've got that hotel one on the brain too, and I can't think of the name of it, but I don't think it's that. It's not Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, it's the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Right, and it's not Darjeeling Express, blah, blah, Life Aquatic, Royal Tenenbaums. I'm like going through my head.
Rushmore, Bottle Rocket.
So those are the only ones I've seen. So I have no clue. I'll just make up a name. The
Sunrise Kingdom.
The Island of Dr. Zhivago.
I finally figured it out.
Now. Yeah, you helped Frank to figure it out.
I did.
Yeah, did you help Al? Did that help you?
I already knew it. It's one of my daughter's favorite movies, Isle of Dogs.
Isle of Dogs is correct. Oh my God, Al, Weird Al Yankovic, you run away with this game.
Wait, it's called I Love Dogs?
Isle of Dogs. Or I Love Dogs.
Isle of Dogs.
Isle of Lucy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is your next venture, is not a song parody, but a TV show parody where it's I Love Lucy meets Castaway, and it's I Love Lucy, and she's alone.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, please get right on it. Isle of Dogs, I've never heard of it.
It was
good. I've actually seen that one, and it is good, but I completely blanked on it.
It's stop motion animated. Yeah.
I try to say that it's not Fantastic Mr. Fox to remind everybody that he did animated movies. Yeah, it's an interesting movie. And along with every other movie we just played, all those movies premiered at South by Southwest. And I was in the audience at all of those.
Wow.
Amongst many others, because I've been going to South by Southwest for years now. And was, of course, I went last year and then they canceled the whole thing. And so this year they're doing it virtually. And we did a Doug Loves Movies for South by Southwest as part of the South by Southwest comedy. And all of that's going to be announced. I think the comedy announcement is on March 6th. And I'll just say, because you're already listening to Doug Loves Movies, you might want to go check it out, that Doug Loves Movies is going to kick off South by Southwest comedy on March 16th at, I think, 6 o'clock Central Time. I think that's a Tuesday. I got to take another quick break, but we'll be right back to figure out how this show is going to end.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back, and we're... What do you think we should do? Al won that game, last game. Congratulations, Al.
Thank you.
Should we try to play this other game quickly, or should we just call Al the champion? Well, I think I know how Frank and Jen would feel about that. So if everybody's all right with it, let's maybe go a few minutes over.
Sure.
If need be. This game, and there's another reason to play this game, is because Al is here. And I don't know if you've heard this, but I've been playing a game on the show that's named after you, and it's called Weird Algorithm.
Mm.
And it's about the strange algorithm that is IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, because any movie, I think Jen's played this before,
yeah.
Any movie, if you look at the cast list on IMDb, you can click on a thing that says refine and change the order of all the people to their order of popularity at that moment, according to IMDb. So what I do is I take a movie that has big stars in it that might not be as popular as some other people are right now. And I take advantage of this algorithm because it's pretty tricky to figure out. So I will name a movie, and then each one of you gets to guess which actor or actress from that movie you think would be the most popular right now. And you get points based on if you get somebody that's the most popular, the second most popular, or the third most popular.
Okay.
Everybody will get a chance to go first, but Al gets the first one because he just won that last game. And wow, this is just, I was going to say, what a coincidence. But I knew I wrote this down in both places. Since we were already talking about Baby Driver, let's do Baby Driver. Who in the cast of Baby Driver do you think is number one right now?
Well, I mean, Kevin Spacey is so popular right now, but...
Every year to see his annual video that he makes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with John Hamm.
You want some ham?
I want some ham.
All right. What do you think, Frank? And we'll lock all your answers in a second, because sometimes people say things that make people change their mind. Plus, you can share an answer, but you also want to be strategic about this and try to get more points.
Oh yeah, because I would have said what Al said, but
you can just piggyback on it and get the same amount of points he gets. Jen could squeak in there and beat both of you.
I'm gonna say Paul Williams.
nice,
because he's my favorite. I love Paul Williams.
He's so great in general. And then that scene is, his dialogue is so weird and like how lovingly he discusses all these horrible weapons.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. That worked out pretty great. Always love that guy. I love him in the beginning scene and end scene of Smoking the Bandit movies.
Yeah, he was terrifically hilarious and a great songwriter.
And that documentary about him.
Yeah, that was great. I saw that too.
What's it called? I'm Alive? Or Still Alive?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
No, I'm Alive, I think. And yeah, it's really good documentary. You know, because he was like, I'm watching, Buzzer on Pluto TV shows old Match Game. And when he's on there, I'm just like, he is so effed up right now.
Yeah.
He was on drugs the whole time. Okay. What do you think, Jen?
I'm winning this so hard. It's not even funny.
Okay.
It's Jamie Foxx.
Oh, man. You're so right.
He's got a lot going on right now. He's got a new whiskey. He's on a sitcom. It's everything. He was in a Pixar movie. Come on.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So final answers, everybody.
I'm tempted to change, but I got to go with my first gut. So I locked in. I got to go ham.
We're still getting a serving of ham. What about you, Frank?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Paul Williams. And I think he's still really popular, despite the Bugsy Malone Scott Baio connection.
Okay, this is such a sad reveal.
Oh.
Normally, I hope it would be funny, but. Everybody that you chose is less popular than Kevin Spacey.
Whoa!
What?
Now? Right now?
Right today, yeah.
And you were joking about it even. I mean, yeah. He's a national joke. Is he popular because he's a national joke?
He's still not worth the points. I think he's just popular because whether people are looking you up for good reasons or bad reasons, it's the, you know, that's the algorithm is what people are typing into IMDb.
So it could be infamous. It's not necessarily like, yes. Like popular.
Exactly.
But I feel like even when we, you know, search his name for bad reasons, he hasn't had a thing lately, you know? So I'm just shocked.
He's just been laying low except for his annual video as that character that he's not playing anymore.
Right. Wow. I was so confident and now I'm not.
Well, check this out. So John Hamm came in at number 6. Jamie Foxx is number 5. I don't know where Paul Williams is on the list. He didn't finish high enough for me to write it down. Kevin Spacey's number 4. So that leaves 3 people from that movie that today IMDb says are the most popular. And they are in the 3rd spot, John Bernthal. And the 2nd spot is Lily James. And number 1 is Isa Gonzalez, who co-stars with Rosamund Pike right now in I Care a Lot.
Ah! Oh. I almost said that!
I hope I said her name right. I've always looked at it and gone, well, how do you say that? How do you say it, Jen?
I don't say it. I was like, I know there's like a hot woman in it, and I bet... Like, I didn't even know she was in I Care a Lot. Like, I didn't know anything. I just was like, I bet that hot woman, like, got really big and it's her.
Yeah. But that just, it just goes to show you how crazy it is that, you know, and great. Those two women are getting a lot of attention. Lily James is in, what's she in now? She's in something that just came out, I think. She's in that movie, The Dig, on that's also on Netflix. Okay. Let's go to round 2. See if we can get some points on the board. Walk out of here with a winner. Or, you know, stay where we all are with the winner. Who gets to go first this time? Frank.
Mm-hmm.
The film, and sometimes I'll even say some of the actors that are in a movie just to jumpstart it and so everybody knows what we're talking about. So this movie is called Heartbreakers. I think
I know. I'm aware of that movie. Comedy.
It stars Gene Hackman, Sigourney Weaver, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Ray Liotta, amongst others. What do you think about that one, Frank? Who do you think would be the most popular from that movie?
Oh, I'm blanking on the name of the guy who's like kind of Jennifer Love Hewitt's love interest in it.
Jason Lee?
Jason Lee, yeah. Is that who that is?
Yeah, Jason Lee's in it, and his two friends are Sarah Silverman and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, right, right.
But they have small parts. They don't get to do much.
Yeah. Because after that last round, it's like the wild, wild west. Anything goes.
Right.
So I'm going to say Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, go nuts, man. what do you think, Jen?
Well, part of me wants to really go nuts and say Zach, but... I'm going to guess Ray Liotta because of, I don't know. It's like people talk about his Chantix commercials.
that guy, man, his first few movies, Something Wild and
Goodfellas.
Like he really, like early on, really did that evil laugh. Like he has that way of like baring his teeth and laughing. and then he did that same laugh as Shoeless Joe in that sad baseball movie, Field of Dreams. And I was like, oh, he's still doing the creepy laugh. I guess that's just him.
Totally. Beautiful eyes. Beautiful eyes.
Gorgeous. Al?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the whole Kevin Spacey thing. So it's hard for me to, you know, I'm thinking it's either going to be Zach or Gene Hack, you know. I'm gonna go with the Hackman. Let's go.
All right.
Can't go wrong with Gene Hackman. No matter
okay,
what.
So Al's got Hackman, whose final film, as it turns out, because he seems like he's not going to make anymore, is Welcome to Mooseport. That's his legacy.
That's the mic drop.
Yeah. Hey, don't say that. Ray Romano, though, since that movie, has become one of the best actors.
He's terrific. He's really good in The Irishman. And he was very good in that that vinyl TV series.
Best thing in it. The only reason to watch it, probably.
He's a good actor.
Yeah. And he's okay with having messed up haircuts or wigs. Okay. So good news, everybody. So, some points are going to be made this round. Unfortunately, though, Ray Liotta did not make it into the top three. He came in at number six. Number five was Jason Lee. Four, Carrie Fisher is in that film, apparently.
I have no memory of her in that movie.
Me neither. Three is Gene Hackman. So that's worth 1 point. For Al said Gene Hackman.
Uh-huh.
And then Sigourney Weaver is number two. And number one, most popular right now, and it's a head-scratcher, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, wow. I almost said her because she does a lot of those, like, Hallmark movies, Christmas movies, but yeah. it's past Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know. She must have some reason to be on everybody's radar. All right, so that means Frank has 3 points. And Al has one, and we've got one more round, starting with Jen. The motion picture Kick-Ass, which starred, amongst others, Nicolas Cage, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and Chloe Grace Moretz.
I've never heard of it.
You don't know Kick-Ass?
No, it's so weird. Certain things just never came across my radar.
It's very violent, if you can get past that. But other than that, it's quite good.
But okay, you mentioned names in it. I'm gonna. You said Nicolas Cage, right?
Cage is in it, yeah.
I mean, I know I'm losing, so I might as well just lose all the way.
Yeah, go for it. Would you pick?
I'm gonna pick Nick Cage, okay. Even though I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong.
Okay. I mean, I like it. Go down in a blaze if you have to.
Oh, yeah. Kamikaze.
Yeah. Al? Oh,
I know who it is. I know who it is. Never mind.
Not really?
No, I don't know his name.
Oh, so, okay.
Go ahead.
I want to say Nicolas Cage. I mean, he would be like, for me, the logical choice, but I think I live in a topsy-turvy world. And I'm going to say Chloe Grace Moretz.
Okay. Frank, what do you think?
Would you happen to know what's the name of the actor who played like the bad guy, the young kid who's a bad guy in it?
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Yeah, I'm going to say him.
Okay, he didn't make the cut.
Okay. Because I just happened to see him in another movie the other night, so.
Oh, right.
It made me think.
Oh, maybe you watched Promising Young Woman.
Oh, I did watch Promising Young Woman, but the one I just watched was Pitch Perfect that he's in.
Oh, okay. Well, he's in both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick Cage came in number four.
Hmm.
So wow. Congratulations, Jen. You got no points at all this whole game.
He was number one in Wicker Man, though.
And number three is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Terrific actor. Number two, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Ah.
That's worth two more points for Al. And then number one, because he's, Pietro in WandaVision, Evan Peters.
Oh, my God. And that's the guy that plays the husband in I Am Woman that is one of my favorite actors who's also in Pose. I love him.
That's who you were trying to tell us about earlier.
I was trying to tell you about him earlier. I know that doesn't win me this.
That works out great, though.
But just
I don't like to leave those things hanging. I'm glad we
fun synergy. Fun synergy. Yeah.
And now again, I'm back to wanting to watch that movie because he is good.
Yeah, he's good.
But we got to settle this with a tiebreaker, Jen, between TV's Frank and Weird Al.
Yeah. Do I have to leave?
You'd be in such a position. So. You don't have to mute your mic, but I'm going to say one more movie. And each of you, Al and Frank, guess one guess as quickly as you can, because if you say it second, it's the same person, so you'll have to pick something else. It's like Sudden Death on Family Feud. So I'm going to say the movie, and you tell me who you think is going to be up in that top three, but hopefully the top one.
Okay.
Star Wars. The
Mark Hamill.
First one. New Hope.
What's his name? Harrison Ford. It's an obscure name. It took me a minute, but.
Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill are both in the top three. Number three is James Earl Jones with the Coming to America bump. And, oh my God, they have him say, they have a network where Eddie Murphy lives, and it's ZNN. As long as James Earl Jones was there, they had him say the.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was a good gag. It's some fun stuff in that movie. It's not perfect, but number two is Mark Hamill, and number one is good old Harry Ford. That means that Frank Conniff, if you've done it again.
Woo!
Wow.
One yet again, and you can come back again next week if you choose to.
I'd be delighted. Thank you.
And you get to plug your stuff first. What would you like to plug?
This Tuesday, just 2 days from now. Well, I don't know when this airs, but
tonight. It'll be out tonight.
Oh, okay. So March 9th, 8 p.m., Trace Blue, you and I are doing our next live streaming Mystery Science Theater style movie riffing show. We're riffing the movie Phantom from Space from 1953. And our special Q&A guest will be Bill Corbett. So go to eventbrite.com. Tickets are only $10 and you can pick them up there.
Beautiful. And we'll see you back here or, you know, where you are. We'll do this the same way again.
All right.
Next week, Jen Kirkman, part of the Misfit Toys network of podcasts, including this show. Your show is called
No Fun. It's called No Fun, the Jen Kirkman podcast. People want to check it out. It's a solo podcast where I just talk about what's going on in my life and my head in the world that week. It's funny, but it's honest. It's all the things. People know what podcasts are. So yeah, check it out.
Thank you for being here. And Weird Al Yankovic.
I've got absolutely nothing to plug, so everybody has to think happy, positive thoughts.
That's what a nice guy you are.
But, you've got to plug Isle of Lucy.
Isle of Lucy is a blockbuster. I can't wait for that.
I think we all need Isle of Lucy. but there is, what do you think about that? Who's making the, Sorkin is making a Lucy Desi movie.
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman, right?
Oh, right.
As Lucy, and I believe
Javier Bardem.
I read some of the sides for it because my friend was auditioning and I was helping them, and it's good.
Good sides.
Like this scene, I was like, I have a friend who's very obsessed with Nicole Kidman, and he was like, don't forget, Jen, she's not playing I Love Lucy, Lucy. She's playing Lucille Ball, who is very dark, dramatic person. I was like, oh, that's a good point. So when I read the script or parts of the script, I read like 8 pages, but I was like, oh, I see this. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Aaron Sorkin's a little too smart to, you know, make something that's, you know, people are going to look silly, but you know, off the top of my head, it is hard to imagine.
Yeah. I kind of, was a little taken aback when I heard about it, but I think Jen makes a good point that she's playing the real person, Lucille Ball, not necessarily
she's gonna have to smoke a lot of cigarettes.
Ricky,
I have a question for Al before we wrap this up.
Yes, I got a letter from Lucille Ball. You're right.
You what?
She sent me a letter when I did my Ricky song in 1983.
Oh,
she,
my God,
she actually sent me a letter, signed it. I've got it framed somewhere.
That's so awesome.
I remember that song. Wow.
Did she, and she just flat out loved it? Did she say anything? Do you remember any of the words she used?
Not exactly, but she was very fond of it. Yeah, she liked it a lot. I think Desi Arnaz liked it as well, although I didn't get a letter from him.
Well, that is awesome. What I was going to ask you about is if you remember the last, I close every episode now with a line, the last line from a movie. And, you know, a lot of movie last lines aren't, you know, they're not tomorrow will be another day or whatever, but you parody that in your ending, but do you know the ending line of UHF?
Yes, I do. Should I say it?
Yes.
I knew she was going to say that.
Oh, wow, you even did the accent. So that's what I'm going to use for today's show. But I wasn't sure if you'd know that or not. You know, So you think with that movie, it'd be hard to stump you with trivia questions about it?
Well, you could try, but I've seen that movie more than any other person in the world, probably. So I'm pretty familiar with it.
Yeah. And like I said, it's still hilarious. And
it's really a funny movie.
Oh, yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah.
And whatever anybody thinks about anybody that was involved with it and, you know, things that have happened since, just don't worry about that. Have a nice time.
Half of the cast of that movie are either dead or legally crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother, we could go on about that for a while, but I mean, that's part of the fun too, is to sit there and go, oh yeah,
oh yeah. Remember when they were,
she's gone around the bend.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you to Weird Al Yankovic and Frank Conniff and Jen Kirkman. And as always, I knew she was going to say that.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.